Have you ever, by any chance, been involved in either as a participant or as a referee or as a judge in any event where a clear winner must be declared? I imagine that at some point in all of our lives, we have all been in a competition. Whether it was a spelling bee, a beauty pageant, a basketball game, some type of sporting event, where a clear winner must be declared. Perhaps you've tasted the thrill of victory, or maybe it was the agony of defeat. Maybe you witnessed something so thrilling like the 1980 Olympics, where the United States of America hockey team defeated the Soviet Union to take the gold in victory. Well, I want to tell you today that each and every one of us is in that event right here, right now. That event of a lifetime. The Apostle Paul refers to it as a race. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for this prize. The race we are in right now leads to salvation in Jesus Christ. And just like in the Olympics or a sporting event, there are requirements that we are to come to before we are entered into these games. The same is with Almighty God and the race that we are in. Number one, we must be called by God through His Son Jesus. You must accept, number two, you must accept this call and repent or reform your ways to God's ways. Number three, get baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands at baptism. And number four, live your lives according to God's way by loving thy neighbor as thyself, keeping the Sabbath and the holy days and all His commandments. Strive to do what is pleasing to God in all your actions. This means that we're going to have to study to show ourselves approved by God. And we're going to have to continue to prove all things. Okay, now that you have positioned yourself in this race, how do you go about recording a victory in Jesus? V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory in Jesus. That is the title of today's sermon. I want to look at some of the text that we just got through reading. Verse 25 says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Now, we train every day. Every day we go through the process of having to deal with Satan and his attacks on us. And every morning we wake up, we begin meditating on God's word, and we start it off with prayer so that we can be prepared for what lies ahead in the day. As Satan is going to attack us, the attacks come from all over, but we must be prepared. We must be prepared because we are in a race that I would consider a marathon, a race that is going on and on and on. Unlike in the Olympics, many people compete just to hear their national anthem or stand on the podium and receive that gold medal. And a clear winner is defined. A clear winner is declared. And then you have the silver and the bronze. With Almighty God, we will receive a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness that will never fade. A crown of righteousness that can never be taken away from us. Coach Pat Riley was giving a pep talk to his players, the Miami Heat players, and he told them, "When you become a champion, no one will ever be able to take that from you." This crown that we're working for, this crown that we're striving in, will never be taken away from us. We will not have to worry about the second death. That's why in this race or in this event, it's so important that we focus on being on the first team, the first fruits. That's what's important to God. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." We're in that good fight right now. And that's why it's so very essential that we continue to do the things that are pleasing to God in His eyes. And I know that many of us are dealing with ailments and sickness, but we are going to receive the victory in Jesus. That's what we're striving for. As we go about passing through our lives, dealing with Satan, the devil, and his henchmen, and attacks that come from all over, it never lets up. It never stops. And we continue fighting that good fight. We continue to struggle within ourselves to do what is pleasing. When the whole world looks at us and smirks or laughs and whispers as we walk by, "There go those Sabbath keepers," as if we're under a burden or something. But we do it just as those Olympic athletes do it. They train sometimes. If a figure skater, I believe in China, they begin training at the age of 4. They leave their families and go into a strict training village. And that's what they do because they are going to be prepared for an event of their lifetime. And their only hope is that they may bring honor and glory to their name, to their family, and their country that they are representing. But what we're doing, we do because Almighty God has called us and open our minds and given us an understanding into what he's doing here on earth with all mankind. And we do it because we know the promises in this book, we're going to receive that crown of righteousness, that beautiful crown of righteousness. I know that it feels good for us to see the gold medal presented to an American and the flag is raised higher than the rest of the flags. And that ceremony where they pass out the medals is just something exciting. And it makes you feel like saying, USA, USA. No matter if you like that sport or not, it makes you feel good that you're in the country that just won a gold medal, that's just been recognized. Well, we're in something much greater than that. Something that is so awesome that I can't hardly really picture the event when we're given our rewards from Jesus Christ. I try to picture in my mind who will be there and what will be the expressions on their face when we finally receive what we've been hoping for all our lives. And you know, to think about how the whole earth is waiting for this moment. Jesus Christ, the Father, the four beasts, the heavenly angels, the whole earth has been waiting for this moment, for the revelation of the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. That moment will be greater than any moment than any of us have ever had throughout all our lives. Now, what's important for us to note here as we look at this verse 7 is that he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. The only way that we finish the race is by dying or going to sleep, as the scripture puts it. Or if we happen to be fortunate enough, as I love to dream about and imagine what it would be like to be there as Jesus appears in the clouds. And as the moment in the twinkling of an eye and we're changed, the dead in Christ rise first. And then those who remain alive, we go and be with Jesus. That is a moment that remains constant in the forefront of my mind. And that is what I'm looking forward to reaching. And that's the goal that we all have in mind in finishing this race. I have kept the faith. I know that throughout our lives we've had many, many, many obstacles that we've had to overcome. That's why the scripture says we're more than conquerors. We're more than champions. We're not just simply conquerors or simply champions. We are the first fruit of Almighty God, Jesus Christ's labor. We're the first fruits. Now, if you've been on a team or if you've competed in that event that we discussed, how important is for you to be on the first team? That means you get to start the game. That means your name is in neon lights and they call out the starters. Or it's baseball, whatever. Your name is up there. We are all a part of the first team. If we've never been successful in any other thing in our lives, God has given us that success by walking with Jesus and keeping up the good fight and keeping the faith and staying in the race. So how do we stay in the race? You can never quit. You can never quit. You can never give up. You can never let Satan, the devil, do anything to you to discourage you. Never. Jesus Christ told his Father, I have all that you've given me. All that has been given to Jesus, he has. Except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And Jesus is going to one day give that same report. And he's going to be talking about you. And he's going to be talking about me. and we're going to be paraded in front of all the heavenly host, and we're going to be declared throughout all the earth as the first fruits, the first team of Almighty God. God is setting up His government, and He is hand-choosing you and me to be a part in that. The Scripture says we're going to be kings and priests. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and we are going to be in His government. No more will it be a government full of lies. It will be a government built on righteousness, on truth. And we will be a part of that as the first team. We will have that crown that no one can ever take away from us. Never quit. Remember that commitment you made to God at baptism. That commitment that you made at Passover. That commitment that you said, God, you have called and I have answered. And all that you have said that I must do, I have been willing. And I am doing. And we'll never give up. We'll go on to the finish. Because we see what's at the end of the race. We see that prize that we're striving for. You have to be honest and truthful to yourselves. That's something that is very difficult to do, but if you try it, it keeps you focusing on Jesus. It keeps you repenting. It keeps you realizing what you've done wrong and how you can do things better to please God. As runners fall down in a race, they also get back up. Don't ever take your focus off Jesus. I want us to think about keeping the faith. Keep the faith that Noah had. Imagine yourself in Noah's shoes. Here he is, 120 years, building an ark. A lot of people believe that it before then, it had never rained on the earth. And picture yourself following the instructions of Almighty God. He's telling you exactly how you're going to build this ark. And people around there watching you and looking at you, and what are you doing? But Noah had to exercise faith because he believed God. And every day in our lives, we do the same thing. We exercise faith because we believe God. We're able to bridle our tongue when people attack us because we believe God. We're able to show that faith that Noah had those 120 years as he was a preacher of righteousness, building that ark for the day that was sure to come. Keep the faith of Abraham and Sarah when they're beyond childbearing years, had a child. Imagine, I know we've looked at these scriptures and we've read it and we say, if God would come to you and tell you at 99, you're going to have a child, you'd probably laugh too. He's a human being, just like you and just like I. You say, okay, yeah, right. But after God put that in his mind, and he began to believe, it became faith that it was showing, that he believed God. Sarah believed God. That is some strong faith. Faith that will keep you and I in the race that we are in. That's the faith we need to have. What about the faith of the Israelites? The faith the Israelites had as they went through the Red Sea as on dry ground. They went through the Red Sea as on dry ground. And when the Egyptians tried to follow them, they were drowned. Now imagine yourself being paraded out of Egypt, marched up by tribe, lined up by tribe, and marched out. And you're leaving. And you're praising God and you're glorifying Him, and you're so happy that you've been released from slavery, only to find yourself between the Egyptian army and the massive Red Sea, wondering what's going to happen. I know at some times, if we take our eyes off Jesus, we feel just like that. Some might call it being between a rock and a hard place. And you might find yourself in those positions in your life. But these are the times when you focus on Jesus. These are the times when you realize that as they went through the Red Sea, the scripture says they were baptized as they went through that Red Sea in that water. And they were protected. They walked through the Red Sea as if it was on dry ground. What amazing sight that would be. Wouldn't that be something to see, for us to see something like that and watch the mighty hand of God open a hole for you and I to walk through while holding back the hand of Satan? And God is doing that for you, and He's doing that for me. Right here and right now, He's doing that in our lives. We don't realize just how much protection we have from God. But if you can keep the faith, you will be able to see that. God is protecting us. He keeps His holy angels about us, protecting us and guiding us and directing us, because He has a plan for us. And His plan is for us to finish the race. And we will. Now, you have to believe that you are being called to the home of the righteous. Now, I know I alluded to USA and the Olympics and what it would be like to get a gold medal. Forget about the land of the free. Forget about the home of the brave. And seek to go to the home of the righteous. That's our destiny. The home of the righteous. That's where we are being led. To the home of the righteous. Keep the faith. I know as a child, watching cartoons, you would see Bugs Bunny and a turtle. And that paints such a beautiful picture of what you and I are going through. You have the rabbit and the turtle. And they set out on a race. And just from the outset, you're watching the cartoon for the very first time, and you say, boy, what kind of race is this going to be? That rabbit's just going to run right through it. And that turtle doesn't stand a chance. Well, you and I are like those turtles. I like that turtle. Why? Because if you paid very close attention to the rabbit, every time the camera spotlighted on the rabbit, it was taking a break. How many of you get breaks from Satan the devil? None of us. Satan doesn't give any of us a break. But the rabbit was breezing through this, and the obstacle come up, oh, no big deal, I got plenty of time. And it seems like the world has that same attitude. You try to show them how gracious God has been to you in your life. Oh, it's no big deal. I'll get there when I get there. Like they have all the time in the world. But you and I are like that turtle. Satan puts an obstacle in front of us, and we go around it. Satan puts an obstacle in front of us, and we go through it. We do that because God has given us the strength to overcome. And we do that because we have the faith in God that He is going to do that for us each and every time, and He will. What about the faith of David? Oh, here he is, a young child, and he said, let me go at him. Let me take a shot at this Philistine who has talked bad about the Most High God. Oh, wait a minute. Come on now. You just a runt. What can you do to him? This guy is 8 feet tall. He's huge. But he had the faith. He said, God was with me with the bear. And he was with me with a lion. And he believed. You and I have that same belief in us. We can overcome anything that Satan lays in front of us because we have been prepared. We have been preparing. You prepare today for success tomorrow. And we are preparing for that race that we are in, constantly in. And the battle never stops. It goes on and on and on. And remember, the race is not to the mighty, nor to the swift, but to he that endures to the very end. Let's look at verse 8 of this same chapter. Verse 8 says, Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but all, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. What does this mean to you and I? It means that there is in store for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award us on that day. And where it says, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let me let you in on a secret. Or maybe it's not a secret. Maybe you all have known this from the very beginning. We are in that race. Some people wear Soviet Union, Czech Republic, Brazil, United States of America, but on our chest is Team Jesus. For we are the team representing Jesus Christ. We are known as Team Jesus. And we are in that battle. And we are in that race. And we are going to endure to the very end and receive that crown of righteousness that is awaiting us. Turn over to 1 John. First John chapter 5 and beginning in verse 2. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. I said that already. His commands are not burdensome. You and I wake up each morning, every day, realizing what a joy it is to be on Team Jesus, to show the world what our captain has shown us. Jesus Christ is the captain of our team. He is the captain of our salvation. He is our leader. He is our high priest. He is our hero. He is the one who we look forward to for strength and for guidance in everything we do. Verse 4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now skip over to verse 11. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We are a part of Team Jesus. That's a mighty responsibility. It's a noble cause. It's a noble part that we are playing. I want to call your attention to the great General Douglas MacArthur. During World War II, as he was summoned to Washington, D.C., and had to leave the South Pacific, he told the troops that he was commanding that he would be back, and that he was coming back to them. And he did. Well, Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. Jesus Christ is our leader. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. And in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, he tells us something mightier than anything General Douglas MacArthur could have told the troops. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus Christ has prepared the place for you and I, the place for the home of the righteous. I told you to forget about the land of the free and the home of the brave, because it just does not compare to what Jesus Christ has in store for us. There will be no evil there. We won't have to put up with the backstabbing and the lying and the cheating and the justification of sin, trying to make us believe that it's okay to do things that we know are detestable to Almighty God. Our captain has taught us better than that. Our captain has led us better than that. He has prepared us for everything that lies ahead. And it's an honor to be on Team Jesus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning in verse 54. I'm going to start at the end of the verse. It says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God, because He has given us that victory. We have met the requirements to be in this race. We are in this race, and we are doing everything in our power to overcome. And Jesus Christ is right there, helping us along the way, giving us the faith, giving us all the tools that we need. He's given us everything. In the morning when we wake up, we must remember to put on the full gospel of armor. Put it on. Do not go anywhere without it. Put on that helmet of salvation. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Take your shield of faith. Get the sword of the Spirit. Buckle that belt of truth around your waist. And don on your feet the gospel of peace. And carry it everywhere you go. And remember that Jesus Christ has given us the victory. Brethren, let us compete for that crown of righteousness, not against one another, but with one another. For we are all a part of Team Jesus. We are all part of the Bride of Jesus. We are all the Church of God, hand chosen by God. So let us continue to encourage one another. Let us continue to keep the faith. And let us march on to victory in Jesus. so that we may be richly rewarded together at the celebration ceremony at the marriage supper, where we are given our richly rewards. Hope to see you at that supper in the kingdom of God. Remember, you have victory in Jesus.